was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, till I heard a whistle blow. Then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on.
My friends, take no prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and it is October 26th. I almost said August 26th. I'm usually within a couple of months of the date, and it's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry if I sound a little tired. I have been in seclusion, working extremely hard to prepare ourselves for the North American event, which begins on Thursday. This is a very tall undertaking, folks, because we are really preparing three different seminars to coincide at the same time. And I wanted to make sure that the material was worthy of our audience, of the attendees, and also that no one particular area of study or review would be antithetical to any other area, so that when we're discussing Canadian technology, it has real overtones to the use of BIC and other commercial remedies by my American colleagues. And I believe we have succeeded in pulling that off. There's so much relationship between what we do in all of the different areas that we function as sovereign men, as secured party creditors, as Canadians in the broad sense of the word, as Americans in the broad sense of the word. There's a lesson to be learned everywhere. For instance, the real trick on the Canadian side of the BIC process was figuring out a process that would provide for as strong enforcement as we could muster without having the availability of 28 U.S.C. 2041, which is the statutory mandate that all funds paid into a United States court for a pending or adjudicated judicial case be deposited with the U.S. Treasury. Well, we have not been able to locate a mirror image corollary to that. However, we do have the criminal code, and in using the criminal code of Canada, as you will see probably in the next segment, Americans will see just how underutilized our knowledge of the criminal code of the United States has languished. You've probably never heard of the criminal code of the United States because we talk in terms of Title 18. And using the Criminal Code of Canada has awakened my eyes to the fact that perhaps our language wasn't up to the test on the American side. So when I use the Title 18 of the United States Code as a reference from now on, I will be referring to it, at least in open court, as the Criminal Code. Does this court or does this court not enforce the Criminal Code? It says a lot. It thrusts it right under their nose. If this court does not enforce the criminal code, then does that mean that this court is sanctioning violations of the criminal code? Which, of course, is what happens day in and day out in the courts of the United States. So when we return, we will be talking about the new Canadian technology. We will be talking about attacking arraignment. We'll be talking about the seven levels of safety of 1099s and finally, that big bad question about the misuse of Form 1096.
It's a fact. Since the Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 post-paid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today. It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Welcome back, friends, and thank you for joining me tonight. Before we begin, let me just reiterate that this program is for entertainment only. This program is to stimulate the love of learning and to fulfill that love of learning that hopefully most of our listeners enjoy. And I do hope that you'll be very entertained by what we have to present for you tonight. I'd like to caution you. That it's just like watching one of those insane television programs where people are jumping off a roof and they tell you, don't try this at home. Same thing here. It would be foolishness, would it not, to take technology that you hear spouting from the mouth of a radio host and institute it as the philosophy of your life. I suggest that everyone should perform their own research, should arrive at their own conclusions, should have a strong belief system, should be able to answer their own questions, and when they've reached that point, that's the point at which they are ready to begin considering whether or not they want to make decisions that could significantly alter the quality of their life. And I'm emphasizing that a little more strongly, perhaps, than other nights, because of some of the emails I've received this week. One in particular stands out with someone returned from a retreat earlier in the year or last year and took their friends and did the ZYA processes on their credit cards and this and that using the money order technique on converting the the voucher that comes with the credit card statement into a money order, something I've never done, something we've discussed, and something that runs contrary to the way I believe we should be doing things. What I'm finding is that as we gain new information, occasionally someone gets upset that they didn't have that information earlier. And that, well, why should I have to study again? Because life is a carousel. It goes around in circle, and we pass that brass ring, and we learn with, hopefully, we learn with each pass. The Lord blesses us with new knowledge. Just this week, our knowledge of the tax remedies expanded significantly. We have seen cases of consecutive refunds. I won't put a number on it, but you would be shocked to hear how many refunds in a row have been successful. We have seen people take the initiative from seminars and go out and master TurboTax and play with it and work out the kinks and the details, just like a science project in college or in medical or dental or veterinary school or in law school, for that matter, working out the parameters. And it really is a thing to behold. I have seen people combine that real-world technology with divine principle and with their deeply held faith in the Lord, so that when they are helping others, the two combine into a miraculous event with miraculous outcomes, where they help no one who does not pledge to study certain vehicles, where they help no one who does not share the same philosophy and who has not earned the right to be doing a tax remedy, where they require the party they are assisting to tithe a certain amount to specific Christian charities, where they require the party to institute to institute protocols that will allow them to maximize the funds and turn it around for refunds the following year. This is initiative. This is growth. This is divine intervention, and I suggest that it should be a yardstick for all the rest of us. Because if we simply grab a technology out of desperation and run with it, or if we invite everybody on the bandwagon without using it ourselves, then we are really acceding to a satanic siren call to instant gratification, instead of being willing to delay the gratification and work through the pain at the beginning. So I hope that comes as a valuable suggestion to most of the listeners tonight. Anyway, folks, I want to apologize for being way behind in answering emails. I am in seclusion. I'm working ungodly long days with very little sleep. I'm sure I'll arrive at the event completely exhausted. We have had some amazing results in preparation for this event. The deconstructing the de facto courtroom manual, while it is not complete, is ready. And we will have a robust courtroom discussion for 1.5 or 2 days, from which I hope the attendees will benefit, along with their notes and the curriculum itself, so that they can return to their abodes, if not fully equipped, at least heading down the right pathway of how they're going to handle themselves should they get summoned or subpoenaed into a de facto scenario. We have constructed what I believe is a almost a divine purpose application of BIC for my Canadian brethren. And I'm saying that because being able to stand back now as it comes together and observe these technologies, one of which I think I'll read you in just a couple of minutes, it's clear to me that we have found, that water has risen to the level, that we have found the place where BIC needs to be in Canada, and that my Canadian brothers and sisters will now have access to an immediately, instantly usable turnkey technology, which I pray they do not use other than as the starting point for their own research. But if they're under the gun, they won't have to start cobbling out thin hair like some mathematician teaching a graduate course in calculus. This, that, or the other things. It will have the powers of attorney, the integration of the criminal codes and all of that. Ready to go. Let me give you an example. Here's the opening paragraph from, what is this? BIC Turbo N for Canada Court. This is the BIC Turbo N process for the courtroom specific to Canada. So it says, dear sir, please find secured promissory note number, whatever, a fully secured demand deposit cash equivalent negotiable instrument uttered under a claim of right in the amount of whatever the amount is. That is obviously Canadian specific because of the claim of right, and the American version of Turbo starts off with the 1099 OID. We don't start off with the 1099 OID in Canada because 99% of the judges won't know what it is and won't know its significance. This letter, and that was the big obstacle here, was to find a way to introduce the technology to the judges so they truly understand what they have landed, the situation in which they have landed in the middle. This goes on to say, the recipient's copy of IRS Form 1099 OID has been included with the promissory note, identifying the court in fiction's taxable obligation in the said amount as agent for the Canada Corporation. And then there's a footnote, and in that footnote, we highlight some of the SEC filing information. Your above-noted offer to expand funds under public policy is hereby returned, noted, pay to the United States Treasury. Treasury is holding the funds on reserve in your name, in parentheses, see discharging indemnity bond number, whatever. Formal demand is hereby made, demand, straight out of the Canada Code, to apply the funds to the above-noted case account, dollar for dollar. The attached durable power of attorney formalizes the demand. As this remedy may be unknown to you, permit me to provide courtesy reminder of the 14-year incarceration penalty for misappropriating the funds, violating the power of attorney, breaching your trust, or ignoring your fiduciary duties pursuant to the criminal code. And then there's another footnote. And in the footnote section on the page, page one, it says, courtesy reference, Criminal Code of Canada, sections 332, 331, 336, and 330, which is referring in respective order to what we just stated, misappropriating the funds, section 332, violating the power of attorney. Now you know why we're using a power of attorney in Canada instead of Form 56, section 331. Breaching your trust. Remember, criminal breach of trust, section 336. And finally, ignoring your fiduciary duties, which is section 330 that states that someone who is given something of value to apply to an account and fails to do so is guilty of theft. A very, very powerful set of sections. This letter goes on in the opening paragraph to say it would be unwise for you to confabulate in personam jurisdiction, comma, an appearance, or an election to submit to a foreign jurisdiction from this courtesy risk disclosure. As a matter of law, this case is settled to a $0 final ending balance or balance favorable to the defendant in fiction. And that, my friends, is the opening of the two-page letter rogatory in BIC Turbo for Canada, and that's what we are bringing with us to the event. Now, we have done the same kind of job on the Global Privacy Shield. But I'll tell you, as far as the Canadian version goes, I'm very partial to this particular BIC Turbo N. Standing back and looking at the forest, it has everything we need in one long paragraph to let the judge know exactly what the risks and benefits are of complying or dishonoring our acceptance for value. Folks, don't go away. When we return, we'll continue the subject, and we'll head right into the subject of how do we handle the public venue attacking us in an arraignment. Don't go away.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, friends. Before I forget, the email address for attending the event is naevent@hush.com. That's N-A as in North American, event, all one word, naevent@hush.com. My email address for any personal comments is restore.america@hotmail.com. However, please be cautioned, with my apologies, that I probably won't be responding to any emails for the next 2 to 3 weeks, which means I will have a monstrous backlog waiting for me when I return from the retreat. With my apologies, folks, but I'm only one fellow. One note also, we had a computer hacked earlier in the week. This is not the first time we've experienced some of this mischief, and I'm not convinced that this is government hacking some of the things that we see. It's more mischievous hacking, things inserted into letters that we commonly send out. Those letters are segregated in a public folder, and everything else on the computers are blocked off. So those letters sometimes are standard stuff that we might use for, let's say, an application for the North American event. And we have found that a couple of them were doctored with some unsavory links. My apologies for those. And also, we have found that all of the web addresses, I don't want to get too specific, but all of the web addresses get subjected to junk email submissions all at the same time. So you know that it's someone out there who's trying to have a good time at the expense of other people. My apologies for anything that crossed your desk through us that should not have crossed your desk, if anything at all. And we do our best to maintain security, and we keep most everything encrypted, most everything of consequence encrypted with a more than 4,000 key encryption algorithm. And we don't retain much anyway. Most everything gets discarded relatively quickly. Later on in the program, folks, I will attempt to address the question that seems to be on the mind of hundreds of you, which is this question of the misuse of Form 1096. We'll talk about that at greater length. It's the particular way that some people are filling them out. Thank you for me not having given a suggestion that anyone should try such a thing, is faulty and could wind up being a big problem for those people down the track, and I'll have some thoughts on that later, so stick with us. That will probably be within the final segment of the program, maybe the last 10 minutes and that final little 3 or 4 minute segment before we sign off. So by all means, I invite you to stick with us till then. Just one other word before we continue. I would like to talk directly to my very many friends, the listeners to this program, the people who read the transcripts in the commercial gulags of the United States. And I know there are thousands of you because I hear from you. And I don't hear from you as often as we can because, as you can imagine, the powers that be don't make it easy for you to communicate with the likes of me. But I appreciate the feedback. I appreciate the work you're doing inside. I appreciate the commercial brilliance many of you have demonstrated and your patience in having access to law libraries only on a limited basis. And I certainly hope that the transcripts are a blessing and helpful to you. And we appreciate where you've been, the sacrifices you have made, and your fine efforts on the inside. Speaking of transcripts, we haven't had anyone decide to make a transcript of the program during the month of October. There were a couple of people, but it became laborious for them. Let me suggest, folks, that making a transcript of this program is by far the best way to learn the material that we discuss. It does take a while, but it's the exact method that I used to learn what I had to learn to become a doctor. I took down virtually every word the professor said. When I got home, I recopied every word in a blue pen with a blue and a red flare. I drew pictures of the bones. I drew the nervous pathways of the body. My notes in gross anatomy were probably 4 inches thick, but when I was done, little did I know I had overstudied, I was able to draw every nervous pathway in the body from memory. I was able to draw most of the bones of the body and every muscle origin and insertion from memory. It was a true knowledge base, and I used that same method to learn the things that I discuss with you on the air. So I suggest, if you have a few minutes, you might wish to attempt such a feat if this program is of value to you. And I guarantee, in helping others with this transcript, you will help yourself and you will jumpstart your education and literally cut months, if not years, off the learning curve. So thank you in advance for any of you who decide to pitch in that manner. Folks, that example of the Canadian technology is a small sample of what we're bringing to bear at the event. And you may be aware, I withheld a number of seats from the people who work with me. I didn't tell them the true count because we always have this mad crunch at the end. I withheld 10% of the seats. I am pleased to announce we have seats available and you are invited to apply. When we return, we're going to talk about arrangements. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Welcome back, folks. Well, a thought I had just a moment ago was we might try something new at the North American event. In the past, we've given some very brief homework assignments at night, but nothing really meaty. I think what I'd like to do this time around is assign a chapter or two of the Deconstructing the De Facto Courtroom Manual to be read at night, and then maybe take a segregated portion of each morning, perhaps a half hour or an hour, and review those particular methods, methods like how to handle the threat of contempt, protecting your name, how to use the sovereign method, the simple method, actual usable graphic technology that we can stick in our back pocket and tuck away so we learn it. We learn it then and there, just like I had to do when I was in my residency. You know, we didn't have much time. We had to learn something. We had to master it. We had to enact what we had learned. We had to apply what we had learned. And I think that'll be the principle we're going to try here at the event. And that would include topics like how to handle an arraignment, which we're going to discuss right now. I know we began talking about this topic last week, but it was very rushed. It frankly did not, I don't believe that it provided you, the listener, with the serious kind of discussion that you deserve. So my apologies if some of it sounds repetitious, but I think this is a critical topic for all patriots to understand, because at some time or another, there's a good chance you're going to face an arraignment. So the question is, what is it? I think I told a story last week that a couple of people had mentioned to me on the phone that they were facing an arraignment within a few days, and they viewed it as, the way they stated it to me was, well, it's only an arraignment. And I had to make the point rather forcefully to them that the arraignment is a pivotal, a pivotal event. It's an event during which the corporation will attempt, using every trick in its arsenal, to coerce a living man to confess to being a legal fiction and to consent to being specifically the fictional defendant that's named on their defective commercial paper. It's literally the pivotal opportunity for the United States to secure your consent to all the rest of the proceedings. Yes, they have an appearance bond or something else you might have signed, but this is it. This is when they say, do you understand? Do you understand what? Do you understand what an arraignment is? It's a presentation of the charges. It's a formal acceptance of that presentation where you step forward and you say, yes, Your Honor, I received the charges. I've held them for 24 hours. I've examined them. I understand the charges. And in so doing, you have just confessed that you are a piece of public property. You are a piece of garbage to be warehoused away with the other unfortunate patriots who are suffering in the gulags, that you have no rights. You have exchanged your rights for privileges. You have not enforced your remedies. And you are chattel in the hands of a man who wears a blackened robe who will not rest until you pray to him as if he is the Lord. That's what an arraignment is. Nothing less. It is the worst event of your life if you don't do something to correct it. Now, the first thing I suggest in an arraignment is the same thing that I have suggested for other hearings, especially when we discussed basic courtroom method. Slow down and remain calm. I'll give you the advice I gave to someone last week. You'd better stop what you were doing. And you'd better go into a dark room and tonight get on your knees and submit to the Messiah and ask to be saved and come to peace with the Lord and repair your relationship with the Lord, because nothing else will provide you with the calm demeanor and quiet faith that you will need to conduct yourself in a manner that is both non-threatening and yet commanding. That's a tall order for many personalities, myself included. But I know people who are entirely non-threatening. In fact, I know a very fine fellow by the name of Mike who was going to be a guest last week. Now that I think of it, we were supposed to have him on tonight and I forgot. Well, we'll make that up to him. But a fellow Mike who is a master at going into the viper's den and simply saying, we've got to get this done. And everybody starts shaking their head. Yep, we've got to get this done. And he has a nice, non-threatening way. He can put the most dangerous objects before them, most dangerous paper before them, that commits them to all sorts of liability, and they don't threaten him. They understand he's just there to talk. Isn't that what we should all covet in our personalities? By the same token, we want to be able, when the going gets tough, to look him in the eye and say, excuse me, I would really rather not do this, but if I have to take these five affidavits of probable cause, attach them to this warrant for your arrest, and place you under arrest, I will. Please don't make me do a judge. I'd rather not do that to you. You seem basically like a nice fellow. So we want to cultivate that calm, quiet, controlled demeanor. We want to cultivate the fact that we are a child of the Lord, a child of Yahweh, who is his absolute biological property, free of fear, and impervious from mortal injury. With that, not coupled with arrogance, but just with that quiet confidence, we should enter that room with certain other tools. At least I would enter that room with other tools, armed to the teeth. And those tools would consist of, number one, a warrant for the arrest of the bond of the judge fully completed, signed and witnessed. Secondly, a warrant, a number of warrants, and I might call these in the upper right-hand corner, I might just mark the letter B so I can tell these apart. Item B would be warrants that are signed and witnessed but do not have the name of the party yet entered thereon. In that way, if a bailiff obstructs or someone else becomes a problem, we have the ability to seize their bond in a manner that they can visually see. We're doing this only for visual aid because we don't need a piece of paper to execute a warrant. We can issue a warrant verbally at any time we feel compelled, and it would be the warrant of a sovereign man or, north of the border, a living man or woman, using our pre-existing authority and our authority under and in the presence of Yahweh to hold people true to the law with a capital L. And so any other way of executing a warrant is just window dressing, but it can be very effective window dressing, as you'll see during this discussion. We might also want a pre-signed warrant for arrest of a bond, naming other principals in the case, pre-signed, witness, and their names already entered. Now, those sorts of warrants for arrest of the bond don't necessarily have to state the crimes. In fact, de facto warrants usually don't state the crimes. They may have an affidavit attached to them, and that's a whole other topic. But the warrant itself would just say, please, a warrant has been issued. You are ordered to arrest the party and bring him before the court. That's basically what a warrant that I would issue would say. Bring him before the court to face the charges of certain acts of lawbreaking. Now, no warrant is valid without the attachment of at least two affidavits of probable cause, but since we're living men, I suggest that these should be solemn affirmations of probable cause and that we should not be taking oaths. And that doesn't mean we can't refer to them in open court as affidavits. That's fine. No one's going to say, oh, you put in an affidavit, you must be a legal fiction dead corporate entity. No, they're not that wise. They're not that smart. They're just not going to do that. They're not even going to mention the affidavit. But a warrant should have at least two solemn affirmations of probable cause. Now, if you're stuck, one. What if there wasn't a other witness, just the principal? Then it would be one solemn affirmation of a living man. I would have ready to go the instant, I would have at least one instant affirmation, either American or Canadian version. Yes, the Canadian version is ready and is coming with me to the North American event. And it's a pretty astounding array of criminal code sections that is listed in group there for easy use. But I would have one ready to go. That means signed, witnessed, the name of the principal entered, the location of the principal entered, and also the alleged crimes pre-checked off. By virtue of my knowledge of what I anticipate will be unfolding in that courtroom. So, for instance, in the United States, I may pre-check off a filing of a false document or a falsifying a court record, assault on a foreign official, piracy, and let's say enticement into slavery. Enticement to slavery and kidnapping. Those four or five might go hand in hand. If I expected at the arraignment that he was going to deny me the opportunity to see a written copy of the charges, so I'd have one of those ready to go. I would have another one identical to that, unsigned, or, excuse me, signed, but without a target party's name entered at the top. Or I might have a couple of those signed and witnessed, without the crimes checked off, without the names checked off, so I have the opportunity to very hastily enter a name of an obstructing party, check off the particular crimes, and have that item ready to go in just a few seconds. If I anticipated that the bailiff would suborn the judge's crimes, which is an easy leap of faith to make, then I might have an instant affidavit ready to go, signed and witnessed, with all of the suborning crimes checked off, and the only missing information would be the name of the particular bailiff. And I would have two or three of those, as I said, ready and waiting, organized perhaps with a letter in the upper right-hand corner, so that if I am challenged and need to be able to hold up a warrant, it is at my fingertips and I don't have to start scrounging. So let's say I have two or three different kinds of warrants and two or three different kinds of instant affirmations. I would have the exact same documents signed and witnessed, crimes filled in, the name of the judge filled in, for each of the observers in the courtroom, signed with their signature and their witnesses. But each of them would be holding one ready to go. Each of them would be holding others which are pre-signed and witnessed, but without the crimes nor the target party being entered. So in other words, everything I have is duplicated to the observers. It won't take but a couple of hours to prepare these. These are very simple documents. But then I would know I am ready if the going gets tough. I wouldn't go into an arraignment, given the importance, naked unless I absolutely had to. Now, if I'm going to be hauled in for failure to appear, that's a whole nother ballgame, and I'll be prepared for that mentally. But in an arraignment, I would like to be ready because an arraignment is a trap. It's my trap for the judge, and I intend to execute on that trap. The third item I might have with me might be a criminal complaint. We have some on the Law Merchant Leadership CD. What we don't have on there, perhaps we will before Thursday, is a common law criminal complaint. And one needs to understand a little bit about common law and the principles of trespass and other things that would fall within the common law. Trespass on a contract. All contracts are in common law, even though they appear to be in admiralty. And I might have a criminal complaint ready to go so that if I decided to execute it, that criminal complaint would have attached to the back the two affidavits or affirmations of probable cause, which is how I would refer to them in open court. This is an affidavit of probable cause I'm holding, Judge. Every judge, every lawyer, every peace officer knows what an affidavit of probable cause is. You're not even using the word criminal, but they know. And I might have those ready to be attached to a criminal complaint for immediate filing in the county or any other county for that matter, or somewhere, as well as the family Bible, giving notice that, in fact, there is a criminal complaint, standing charges of violations of the common law, fatal violations of the common law, that would make it impossible for anyone in equity or admiralty to be issuing a bond on behalf of that party, because a common law lien supersedes everything else. It is not adjudicable in equity nor in admiralty. And lastly, I would have in my pocket some promissory notes, a pre-signed, secured promissory note in an unspecified amount for use if contempt or other charges are levied during the hearing. As I said, it would be pre-signed, ready to go. All I have to do is fill in the amount. And I might have a few of those, and I might make sure my observers had a few of those as well. So there I am, ready to pay off any charges, ready to assemble an arrest packet for any party that should impair public policy or my interests. Now, there are two kinds of arraignments. They're both the same item, but they come in two flavors. One is an arraignment before a judge, which is very common, and one is the cattle call in the cities. And someone I know just went through one of those and had the foresight to treat it similarly to the arraignment before the judge. The object for the judge is to get you to plead, is to take the defendant's pleading in such a way that you are confessing to being the defendant in fiction. And so some of the typical procedures they might go through would be to ask you if you have seen the charges. If you're there with an attorney, the attorney may volunteer by introducing you as a defendant and say, we waive a formal reading of the charges. Where on earth they learn to do that, I don't know, but I'm sure it's by example, and someone in some course somewhere said, well, that's thrifty. It saves the court's time. You're doing a service to your client, so you're not billing them unnecessarily for wasted time. Of course, what they've done is confessed you into the fiction as a dead corporate entity, resident person of that venue, the United States or Canada. And at some point, the judge is going to say to you, either have you examined the charges or do you understand the charges? Or eventually he will say, Mr. Jones, how do you plead? And that's the moment of truth, friends. No more important question has ever been asked of you by any servant of Satan in your entire life. I guarantee you that. Because how you answer that question will determine the quality of you and your family's life, perhaps for the rest of yours. When we return, we'll address that issue forthwith.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
People get all upset and they shiver and they sweat for money. Don't seem to make no difference.
Welcome back, friend. All right, so our purpose during the hearing is simple. It's to secure a piece of paper that alleges charges. It's to secure a copy of the charging instrument so that we can then challenge it on any one of a number of bases. Now, if one is in there purely commercially, then I suggest we would be following a commercial method and we would accept the document for value, hand it back, indicate that the case is settled, and proceed from there. And there are law merchants who are very good in that direction. In fact, with the right judge, it can go very matter-of-factly. If this is a tough case, and it seems that you're dealing with rogue officials, then, and if you have completed the BIC Global Privacy Shield, or BIC Suite, in which process has been returned to them, and they have received notice by way of a declaration of interdependence or a declaration of political status, but they have received some form of notice that the United States or Canada has accepted your standing as a sovereign or living man or woman, then there is no need for this hearing, and we would stand on that. They're going to ask us how we plead, and we're going to want to see a copy of the charging instrument, because once we have it, we're going to point out that this is a case of mistaken identity. So when they ask, how do you plead, we ask to see the paper. The defendant has not presented with a writing containing the charges, Judge, so the defendant is unable to plead at this time. Do you happen to have a copy of the charges, or do you have charges you wish to present in writing? You know, the best thing you could do is walk in there with a megaphone bent over on a cane with one of those old-fashioned ear megaphones sticking out of your ear and say, Judge, I can't hear very well. I need to see everything in writing. Because there is mischief in the air at the use of your name. Excuse me. Aren't you John Jones? Well, hell no. But you answer, you're a debtor. Now, we devoted an entire program earlier this summer, I believe sometime in August, maybe August 7th or 14th. Excuse me. We devoted a program to the topic of name. And the topic of handling and protecting your name is intimately, intimately related with the topic of arraignment. They are, in fact, the same topic. So we might have a name tag on to show the name, but once that name is spoken, there is mischief, and that mischief is called misnomer. There are ways around it. There are many good technologies for handling that. One has to know who he is. It could be as simple as saying, excuse me, Judge, we both know what's going on here. If I state that name that's similar to the one you've written on that piece of paper, you're going to assume I'm confessing to be the party on that piece of paper. Isn't that true? It could be as simple as that. No memorization, just knowing the situation and talking about it plainly with the judge. It could be as simple as saying, excuse me, Judge, what's the difference between the word red and red? You're making the point then that two things can sound alike and have entirely different meaning. So we want to avoid having a name situation, and one of the primary ways we do that is we use our sovereign name. First and middle name, we go nowhere near the last name. Now there is truly a distinction that everyone can see. Well, folks, that music means we're headed to the end of the first hour. We'll be back after 1 minute. The meat of the issue, how do we handle an arraignment so that not only don't we go to jail, we walk out a free man. Don't go away.
Let me tell you why